Okay, Rabotai, so we begin the 12th Perek Be'ezer Hashem, that's Perek Habona, and we're going to be focusing during the course of this limud, which is going to move quite slowly, so don't think we're going to finish this in a day, it's going to take a long time, on three malachos primarily.
Where are we?
So that's on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. So if you'll open up the Gemara Shabbos, the Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, you'll see that we start the 12th Perek, which is Perek Habona, in which we want to study three Molochos, Mirtz Hashem. That's Moleches Bona, and then Moleches Makav Patish, and finally Moleches Kosek. Those are the three. There are other Molochos that we'll be studying, but those are the three most important Molochos for our purposes here in the 12th Perek. Yes, Bona and Makavapatish. Again, Soser is going to come in because Soser is the flip side of Bona. So whatever is true for Bona is going to be true for Soser in the reverse.
It's not here.
So just by way of introduction, I want to point out that in terms of Bona slash Soser, those two malachas, the most fundamental issue that we'll have to address, but not now, but as we go down the line, is the question of kalim. If I create a utensil, is that moleches bona? The classical case of bona, and less man de polig, nobody argues about this, is mechubro lekarka, is when you create a structure that is connected to the ground. In the case of a utensil, by definition, there's no connection to the ground. So that's going to be a major issue that's going to come up right here at the beginning of Perek Habona, but not for today.
What was the bone in the Mishkan then?
Now, what was bone in the Mishkan? The Gemara is going to offer three possible answers to that question, what was bone in the Mishkan? And that's going to be a piece of work for us to try to figure out why each man the Omar rejects the one that came before him as to what exactly was the binyan in the Mishkan. But the classical binyan in the Mishkan is the Mishkan itself.
Which was that?
But that's not really our subject for today, because that binyan has all the trimmings and all the requirements and conditions of Moleches Bona. It's a permanent structure, l'chora. Again, why it's permanent is going to be Yerushalmi. And number two, it's a major structure. It's what you call a binyan gadol. It's not what we call a binyan koldehu, which is a small kind of structure. That's going to be the subject of our lima today. Where in the Mishkan was there a binyan koldehu, a small structure? Now, let's begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Habone kama yivne v'yehei chayav. How much? In other words, every malacha, again, barring the exception of maybe one, maybe possibly two, every malacha would seem to have a minimum shear. And less than that, you're not chayav for. So the Mishnah, in a very pedagogical way, asks the question. You know, usually the Mishnah just gives you the answer. It doesn't even bother asking the question. But here, the Mishnah wants to be crystal clear about it. Kama yivne v'yehei chayav. How much does he have to build in order to be chayav? And the Mishnah answers, habone kol shehu. There's no minimum shear. In other words, you don't have to have a shear width or length or how many levanim, you know, how many stones you put down, kol shehu. And the Gemara is going to analyze what this means, kol shehu. Now, Rashi points out, habone, sha'omru bi'ovos molochos. In other words, at this point, the Mishnah is going back to the first Mishnah. When I say the first Mishnah, I don't mean the first Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. I mean the first Mishnah that lists the Malachos. And that's in Perek Klal Gadol. That's on Daf Ayin Gimel. And in that long list on Daf Ayin Gimel, we have Meleches Bona. Can anybody guess the answer to this question? Is Bona early in the Mishnah or very late in the Mishnah? Very late in the Mishnah. Now it's very interesting. The last Melacha in the list of the 39 on Daf Ayin Gimel is Meleches Hotzah. And the first Sugya, and in the Mishnayos already, forget about the Gemara, to analyze Melachos, chooses the last Melacha on the list to analyze, and that's Meleches Hotzah. And basically the Mishnah goes backwards. It starts with Hotzah, and then it goes up to Bona, working backwards, although there's Makom HaPatish in the middle, but we're going to see that Makom HaPatish is really an extension of Bona. It's like the culmination of Bona. So that basically the Seder of the Mishnayos is to take the last of the Melachos and then go backwards. Some say that the reason why this is so is because the Mishnah is interested in those Melachos that are very common. And Hotzah, for example, is a very common Shchiach or Ragil Melacha. But if that's the Seder HaMishnayis, I wonder if Meleches Bishul, for example, is less common than Meleches Bona. So I'm not so happy with the assumption that the Seder HaMishnayis that Rebbe chose is which is more common, which is more Shchiach. I would think that there's something else involved. I want to suggest another possibility, but here too I fell sort of flat on my face. I want to suggest that the Mishnah was looking for those Melachos which don't have a shear to them. And the big Chiddush is that Yechai for Koldu. For example, the Gemara is going to postulate on Daf Tzadi Vav, we didn't see that Gemara, it's a little bit earlier, that in the case of Hotzah, if you carry certain very small items, which is called Itrin Upilpeles, Yechayev for Kol Shehu. You'll see this quoted in the third Tosus down on your page. You see the Kol Shehu Lamai Chazi. And Tosus at the end says, Aval Motzi Itron Upilpeles Kol Shehu Svara Hu Demachayev. And that Svara is presented back in the Sugya on Daf Tzadi Vav, I believe it is. What's this little Vav over here? Oh, Daf Tzadi. My mistake, Daf Tzadi. So that if Meleches Hotzah becomes your example of a Melacha Yechayev even for a Kol Dehu, then it would make sense that if that's what the Mishnah wants to be Mechadish, the next Melacha on my list will be Meleches Bona, because Bona is also Chayev be Kol Shehu. But then I have a problem, because what other Melacha is Chayev for Kol Shehu? Anybody remember? Meleches Choresh for Harisha Yechayev for Kol Dehu. And therefore I was thinking that maybe at this point, if the Mishnah is following that Seder to begin with those Melachos that don't require a minimum shear, and therefore Hotzah fits the bill and then Bona fits the bill, the next one on the list should have been Meleches Choresh. But we're going to soon see, Rabosai, that actually the Mishnah is going to compare Meleches Bona and Meleches Choresh. In what context? So let's just set this down. If you have a pen, or if you want to borrow my pen, you should write this down, because this is going to come up over and over again. When a person digs a hole in the ground, he can be chayav for one of two different melachos, either for Meleches Bona or for Meleches Charisha. What will determine which Moloch he's chayav for? Yeah, if it's in the bias, if he drills a hole in the ground so that he wants to, for example, set a pillar into the ground, that's called Meleches Bona. But if in the field, in the Sada, he digs a hole, that's called Meleches Choresh. Why in the Sada does that same Moloch that was Bona inside the house become Meleches Choresh? What is the purpose of Meleches Charisha? to prepare for what? For Zriya. So if Choresh is the preparatory stage for Zriya, then out in the Sada, that's where you're going to be planting and growing, and therefore the hole that you dig out in the field is going to be Meleches Choresh. In the house, he has no need or intention to grow anything. The only possible Melacha that would be a good, valid candidate for digging a hole in the ground would be Meleches Boneh, if in some sense the hole improves the structure of the house. For example, let's have a wall, and I want to hang a painting on the wall, so I need a hole. I have to knock a hole in the wall, and then I can put in a little peg, and then I can hang my my painting on the peg. All that would be Meleches Boneh. Or for example, if I need a window in a room, so I knock out a hole in the wall, and that becomes Meleches Boneh, because now I improve the structure of my house. Now I have a window. The problem is going to be that would seem to fit under a different melacha when I make a window. What's that? Soser. It should be soser. So one of the issues that we're going to have to really come to grips with, and I warn you, Raposa, it's complicated. When do we call breaking part of a structure a stira? When do we call it a binyan? I would have said that if I break part of my structure, I remove a piece of wall in order to create a window, that would be soser. You might ask me, well, breaking a wall should be potter because of what principle? Mekalkel. And the answer is it's not mekalkel because I need the window. And if I need the air to come in and out, that's called creating a Pesach. That's called a stira for the sake of a tikkun. So it's a tikkun and not a kilkel. But why is that called Meleches Boneh? Why do I view the Melacha as Boneh when in effect it's Stira? So you'll tell me, well, Stira is usually Mekalkel, but the answer is that Stira is not necessarily Mekalkel. If I do a Stira for improvement's sake, then it becomes a Meleches Tikkun, and therefore I would be Chayev for Stira. So the question again is, why, you know, drilling a window in a house, why would that be Meleches Boneh rather than Meleches Soseh?
Presumably digging a hole outside is not necessarily Choresh. If you're digging a hole outside in your patio to build something, then that's Boneh.
Well, I'm not sure if the patio has a din of a bias. In other words, a bias here means a place where you're not growing things. This is not a bias in Hilchas Mezuzah. I don't know if your patio, for example, is a bias in Hilchas Mezuzah. I don't know if it's a bias in Hilchas Bedikas Chametz on Pesach. I don't know.
Look, let's say this is just it's a field, and you want to build a hut in a field. That's Boneh, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah. If you build a structure in a field, yes. But in general, what I'm suggesting is that Chofer Guma comes under either Meleches Choresh or Meleches Boneh. If, as a general rule, again, we're oversimplifying, if it's in the Sada, then you identify as Meleches Choresh. If it's in the Bayis, it's Meleches Binyan. So the Gemara asks the following question. Let's leave out the Mishnah for the time being. There are many other dimensions to this Mishnah, which we'll get to Bezer Hashem. Kol Shehu. If the subject of our discussion here is Kol Shehu, then Lamai Chazia literally means, what is it suitable for? Okay.
You put a minimum size on it.
Correct, but what are you going to put into a minimum size? What function does it have? Lamai Chazia. And the Gemara is going to explore this question on two different levels. Take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel points out, Hutzrachnu bezos, what the Gemara is looking for. Harvey, you don't have Rabbeinu Chananel in your Gemara?
No, it's the wrong volume.
Oh, that's not Masechet Shabbos.
Yeah, it is, but not second volume.
Oh, I see. This has got Klal Gadol in it, but not Tabona. Okay, fine. So we'll have to. Do you have another volume of Shabbos?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so believe me, you'll bring it in, and we have a special cubby for you for your Sfarim, and we'll put it there, and we'll protect it, you know, just like Noah protected the animals in the table. Okay. So what happens over here? Says Rabbeinu Chananel, the Gemara is really asking a twofold question, meaning the Gemara will only be satisfied if it could really answer two questions, even though it says Lamai Chazi, which sounds like one single question, Rabbeinu Chananel smashes that one single question into two. L'beis dvar, we need two things. Echad, number one, Lo'odia, teach me, Matzorech lebinyan kolshu. Very naively, what am I going to do with a binyan kolbu? I dig a hole that's minuscule, it's microscopic. What am I going to do with that hole? So again, that's from the perspective of the purpose of this binyan kolbu. Then he goes on to say, Sheni, which means secondly, Liros ma binyan kolshu hoya b'mishkan.
What did they do in the Mishkan?
What did they do that would qualify, or shall I say, be described as a binyan koldu in the Mishkan? And he's going to say now that we're going to have three answers to this question. Rav Yirmiya, Abaye, and Rav Acha. Kol echad derech yediya upshutahu. He says that each one of these three is going to give us knowledge that, in their opinion, is simple, is straightforward, to answer both of these questions. So again, Lamai Chazi, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, is a twofold question. A, what are you going to use a binyan koldu for? You, Harvey, or me, Azari, right? What am I going to do with it? And secondly, what was the binyan koldu in the Mishkan? And I say this as an introduction to Tosfos Dibur HaMashkil culture. Because Tosfos is going to be bothered by the following question. And he never asks the question. So we have to always, you know, somebody wrote a book called What Bothered Rashi or something like that. So we have to ask, what bothered Tosfos? Tosfos says that the paradigm sugya of Kol Shehu is the sugya that we referenced earlier today on Daf Tzadi about Hotzah. And the Gemara wants to know, what do you gain by carrying a koldu? And the Gemara gives various answers. Says Tosfos, if your paradigm of Lamai Chazi, in the case of Kol Shehu, is Hotzah, the sugya back on Daf Tzadi, then the Gemara never asks the question, where was it done in the Mishkan? The Gemara is not looking for a case of Hotzah Koldu in the Mishkan. Here, in the case of Binyan Kol Shehu, for some reason, we need to answer the question, where was this Binyan Kol Shehu in the Mishkan? And the question is, why? So let's just read Tosfos and see if we can make any sense out of this Tosfos. And Alan, you were able to photocopy that page?
Sure.
No, I mean to say, remember I gave you something from the Masifta?
Yeah.
You know, on a larger page?
Where is that?
You got that? Okay, everybody has that?
No.
No?
What's that?
Yeah, this. You. It's footnote Yud Beis, I wanted to learn with you.
Yeah. Yud Beis? Yes,
maybe. So we don't have copies of that. Okay. Okay, I'll say it about Pet. It's just a few lines. It's not. So let's just read through the Tosfos. Tosfos says the following. Dafka hacha itzrich lefrushe dahavik havase b'mishkan. Here, with regard to binyan kol shehu, the Gemara is compelled to spell out exactly where we find a binyan kol shehu in the Mishkan. And the Gemara indeed is going to offer three suggestions, three possibilities as to what was binyan kol shehu in the Mishkan. Why? So everything that lies in this Tosfos here is in the next few words, if you want to underline those words. Mishum de lo chashiv binyan kol shehu. Lo chashiv binyan kol shehu. And again, all I can do right now at this point is translate the words of Tosfos, that there's no chashivus in the Hava Mina of the Gemara to a binyan kol shehu. So Rabbosai, if the premise of the Makshan is that there's no chashivas to a binyan kolshu, what is Mishkan therefore going to supply for me in one single word? Chashivas. Okay, so let's just keep this equation in mind. Again, I'm not at the point where I can explain to you this Tosfos, but I just wanted to set up a sort of a mathematical structure here. Tosfos says the following. In order to be chayav for Shabbos, you need what? Chashivus. And then Tosfos says, premise number two is the equation between what and chashivus. What's going to give me chashivus? Mishkan. Mishkan equals chashivus. The Gemara assumes that since A, you are not chayav for Shabbos unless you have a malacha chashuva, and since B, malacha chashuva means a malacha in the Mishkan, therefore C, the answer to the Gemara's question of how you could be chayav in our Mishnah for a binyan koldu, for malachas bona with a kolshu, has got to be through Mishkan. Mishkan is the only salvation here that would upgrade a binyan kolshu to the level of chashivus. So again, this one I want to hack around in my head, and I'm just speaking out loud, maybe it'll help you as well, that Mishkan generates chashivus. And therefore, yeah. What is your name? I'm sorry.
Levi.
Levi. You look familiar, Levi. I don't know. Do we ever meet?
I'm new here, yeah. I'm new.
Yeah.
But I had a question. Are you saying that Mishkan itself is what gives it the chashivus? Or that
right.
Mishkan indicates the chashivus? Meaning the chashivus exists, but you can see from Mishkan that it has a certain chashivus.
That's a very profound question. I think the answer to your question, but I don't know how to prove it to you, is that Mishkan itself creates chashivus. Do you follow what I mean? In other words, it's not just an indication. It's not just, well, I want to know if it's chashuv, so I'm going to look into the Mishkan. There are 1,000 things that were done in the Mishkan, but there's certain things that were done in the Mishkan that were done in a very significant way. So the fact that a Kohen may have blown his nose in the Mishkan doesn't mean that blowing your nose on Shabbos is a melacha. But if they needed a certain action in order to create the Mishkan, then that is my barometer, that is my kovea for chashivus. Okay, I can't prove that to you yet, I can just give you my intuitive answer to your question. Now, another question that we should ask, and this would also touch on Levi's point, is where does Tosfos know this from? Or for that matter, where is the Gemara itself coming from? This equation between Mishkan and chashivus is very problematic, and I'll tell you why. Because in the very next line, Tosfos points out that with regard to Hotzah, where once again you'll be chayav for Kol Shehu, in the case of Motzi Itron Vipilpeles, Kol Shehu, Tosfos says Svarahu Demachayev. Which means that
small.
What is Svara is the opposite of what in this context?
Mishkan.
We don't need Mishkan. The Gemara nowhere addresses the question of how do we know that Hotzah Kol Shehu was implemented in the Mishkan. And Tosfos says that the chashivus of this malacha is somehow supplied by Svara. And this is very perplexing because, well, if you know, you should be fair to all sides. If you're telling me that Svara could supplant the need for Mishkan, and if I'll be Svara, there's some sort of need that makes it into a certain chashivus. You know, he needs the itron. Therefore, why not say he needs a binyan koldu? And we saw already, Rabbi Nachanal, it's not enough to tell me he needs a binyan koldu. He has a function and a purpose for binyan koldu. We also need what? Mishkan. Well, in the case of Hotzah, Tosfos says that once you tell me that he has a purpose for this Hotzah, even though it's Kol Shehu, then the Svar is that in Machayev, I can already make draw the next conclusion, I can jump the gap and say, well, it's Chashuv. And if it's Chashuv, I don't need Mishkan. But in the case of Binyan Koldu, despite the fact that I convince you that he has a need for Binyan Koldu, he still is not going to be Chayev. There won't be any Svara to upgrade that to the level of Chashivus. I'm going to need Mishkan. So what is this Svara that tells me in the case of Hotzah, that operates to tell me that I don't need Mishkan because there's got Chashivus to this Hotzah because he needs the Hotzah, whereas in the case of Binyan Koldu, even if I convince you that he needs the Binyan Koldu, that's not going to suffice. I need another element into the equation, and that is to prove to you that it was done in the Mishkan. So I'm going to give you a list of different scenarios, and that's what the Gemara is about to do, in which he needs this binyan kol, but in each case I'm going to have to prove to you that in fact that kind of action of binyan kol was implemented in the Mishkan, and therefore it has chashivus. I can't make this jump, as I did in the case of Otsar Pisvara, and say that, well, since you have a purpose in your Hotzah, even though it's only a kol shoot, therefore that supplies al pisvara the chshivus of the malach of Hotzah b'kol shi, and therefore I don't even need Mishkan. That doesn't operate in the case of binyan kol shoot. So I wanted to read to you a footnote here to try to see if we can get a little bit more of an embellishment of this Tosfos. And he writes the following. Again, it's not that long, so if you'd like, Alan has a photocopy, but it's very hard to photocopy these pages. But you can print them out from your computer. Yeah, but then it's like very light. Am I right?
Sometimes it comes.
Yeah, we're getting better though, right? at figuring out the system. So he writes the following. He says, "Hagemara." Hutzricha levarer heichan matzinu binyan kolshu b'mishkan. We have a need, a compelling need, to find binyan kolshu in the Mishkan. Afal pi shemaleches hotza, b'maleches hotza, b'dvarim sheshi'urim b'kolshu li'el daftzari lo shala ha'gemara heichan matzinu Hotsa kolshihi bar mishkan. Mishum shemalech b'maleches hotsa svara pshutahi di af al hotsas shir katan yu chayovim. So far, basically, he's just summarized what we said. He hasn't yet really gotten into the deeper explanation of why it's so. Why is it that Svar Pshuta is sufficient in the case of Hotzas Kol Shehi, and therefore he's Chayav. And he writes the following: Ki ein hevdel b'maleches Hotzah Atzma bein Hotzas Shir Gadol lehotzas Shir Katan. In other words, the volume of your hotzah, of the object that you are relocating, if you will, is not relevant to the what he calls the hotzah atzma. If you want to write that down, hotzah atzma, it's a little bit of a vague term. It's only relevant to your need. And if I can convince you that hotzah shir katan supplies or fulfills your need, then fine. You know, the malacha atzma is no difference between the volume that you're carrying in terms of the malacha atzma, as I state, that's what he's saying. The only difference is, well, what benefit will you gain from a shir katan? The answer is, you have a tremendous gain from it. In your particular station in life, you gain from it. The Al-Kanan, therefore, since the malacha atzma is hotzah, whether it's a shir katan or shir gadol, lohutzuchu levarer, we don't have to go back to the Mishkan to define the hotzah atzma. Heichan matzino hotzah kolshi b'mishkan. That we don't need. What do we need? Rak hutzuchu levarer, ezu chashivas yesh ledavar. What is a benefit, a significant benefit, you know, what is this great contribution of a hotzah, of a kolshu, of a shir katan? That's what we need an answer for, and that's what the Gemara addresses back on Daf Tzadi.
Didn't we learn that if when there's a chatzi shir, an inyan chatzi shir, that we exclude things that said it wasn't in Malachas Machsheves, and it was a hotzah thing?
Correct, but that's only because he wants to feed his animal. So the Gemara says that to feed your animal, you need a certain volume. But if, let's say, you're not feeding your animal, Do you have a Gemara on Daf Tzadi? I don't have in front of me. I looked again for the Gemara, but there's only one Gemara on the shelves. I have to bring my own Gemara.
Who's Daf Tzadi?
If somebody could just quickly reference that Gemara, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Proposed caution.
Yeah.
It's just two pages back.
What does it say over there? Just those are the only words in the Gemara. Pilpelis Kolshu. It doesn't say anything more than that. Oh, I see. In other words, it has some sort of a taste to it that qualifies, or what's the word I want to use, that that neutralizes a bad taste or a foul odor. It's a kind of a palate cleaner, or well, what do they have nowadays? You know, you buy these peppermint things, you know what I'm talking about, and you just put it in your mouth. And what does it say there as far as Itran? Does it say anything there about Itran back on Daf Tzadi?
Tzilchosa.
Migraine.
Oh, it helps you for a headache?
Migraine.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
It's like a pill. So imagine you know someone who's suffering from tremendous headaches, and you want to carry a pill, and the pill is a kolshu. It's a lot less than a grogeres. You know, it wouldn't satiate your animal or yourself probably, but it would help for neutralizing the headache. So that's called chashivus. So such a otzah, if let's say you're in Rishus HaYochid and I'm Rishus HaRabim or whatever, so that I'm, it's a tremendous benefit, you know, for me to take this pill from one place to the other so that I can alleviate myself of certain suffering. That's what the Gemara says.
You can argue exactly the same opinion. If you're digging a hole, and it's a tiny hole, if that's what you need,
right.
It's also not
chashivus. Oh, so I stopped in the middle just to answer Mitch's question. Oh, Masha Ein came b'moleches boneh. Again, I've answered the question. Again, each one of the mind, the Yom Rav and the Gemara is going to answer the question. Well, what did you gain by this moleches binyan? So we've already paralleled the Itron and the Pilpeles, but nevertheless, that's not going to do it for us. Why? Misvar yeshlanu lomar sherak binyan gadol nechshav binyan. Aval binyan kol shehu eino nechshav lebinyan klal. The fact that you need it for a certain purpose is not going to generate the definition of the malacha atzma. Remember, I asked you to underline those two malachas, and therefore lo shayach bebinyan katan lischayev alav machmas maleches bona. Now there are two stages here. It's a two stage process. Stage number one, shlav aleph, is I have to establish the malacha itself, that the malacha itself is called a malacha even in a kolshu. In the case of Hotzah, the malacha atzma is not impacted by the size of the volume of the object that he's relocating. And therefore, as far as the malacha atzma, I didn't have a problem. But as far as malacha's boner, only because a binyan gadol is nechshav lebinyan, binyan koldu eino nechshav lebinyan klal, which again we're going to have to rack our brains and figure what that means, but he says that in the Havamina, until we have Mishkan, then a binyan kolshu eino nechshav lebinyan klal is therefore lo shayach l'schayev olav machmas meleches bone lefichach. So why are you chayev for meleches bone if I grant you this premise that a binyan koldu is not called a binyan, right? Ainu nechshav l'binyan klal. Is therefore, he says, Hutzucho levar heichon matzinu binyan kolshu b'mishkan, shemizen nuchal lilmod, shebimeleches bona chayovim gama al binyan kolshihi. So again, Rabosai, there are two boxes that have to be checked off. Number one is, what gives you a benefit from a kol shehi? And that box has to be checked off, both in the case of Hotzah and in the case of Binyan. And then there's a second box that has to be checked off, and that is the malacha itself. Not what you need from the malacha, and what purpose and benefit you serve, but rather whether or not this constitutes and qualifies as a malacha. And the Gemara thinks, according to Tosus, that in the case of Hotzah, I don't have to check off that box. Hotza is hotza, no matter what the size of the object is. But in the case of binyan, the size of the binyan is going to... Now, what is that size of a binyan? He doesn't tell you. What was the havamin in the shear of binyan? Was it enough for an animal to live in it, or a person? What if he's tall? What if he's short? I mean, he doesn't give us that. Maybe we should look in Hilchas Sukkah to see, you know, what's a binyan aroy l'diro, or in Hilchas Mezuzah. I don't know. He doesn't give you a clue about this. By the way, in the back of the Masifta, he has something called Yalkut HaBiurim, and I was hoping that maybe there he would perhaps expand upon it. So he says the following. I'm just going to read this very quickly to see if he adds anything in the back. He says, Tosis Hikshu, Madua Hutsucha Gmar Levar Hechan Matsinu Binyan Kolshu B'Mishkan. Right? Once we derive hotza from the Mishkan, it is a malacha. And that malacha is not limited or impacted by the size of the object that he's carrying. Al kemo hutzcha gemara lomar hecha matzinu hotza kol shi ba Mishkan. Rak hutzcha levarer ezo chashivus yesh ledover b'shir kol shu. Valkach omra she came into royal advar misuyamim, as we discussed earlier, is lefichach yeshlo chashivus. It has significance to poshet shchayom al hotzos. Mashen kemot es bone shemisvar yeshlo nuloma shirak binyan gadol nechshav binyan avol binyan kolshu eno nechshav lebinyan klal. Once again, I was hoping you would give us some insight into that. Velo shayach leschayev olav. Machbas Moleches Bone, Lefika Hutzcha, Gemar Levar, Mehechamatzinu Binyan Kolshu, Bemishkan, Shemizenu Chalomat, Shemoleches Bone, Chayovin Aleo Gam, Al Binyan Kolshu. And in the footnote on the bottom, he tells you to look, where is he quoting? Let me just see this. Gur Aryeh. Wow. I didn't know that the Gur Aryeh was on Shas. In my mind, the Gur Aryeh is a Pirush Al HaTorah. Well, Rabosai, I have news for you. The Gur Aryeh says something totally different. I thought he was telling me that this is the Gur Aryeh. Maybe he thought so. I don't know. But the Gur Aryeh says something totally different. He says, "B'moleches hotza pshita shahaya gam hotza kol shehi." He's saying that you do need Mishkan, even for the case of Hotza. The Gemara didn't answer that question because the Gemara knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there was Hotza on a Kol Shehu in the Mishkan. V'lo Hutzcha Gemara Lomar Zos. Avo Melechez Bona lo haya poshut klal la Gemara shahaysa binyan Kol Shehi b'Mishkan l'fichlo Hutzcha Gemara Lomar Zos. V'chein Kosev Ayad David. I don't know. At least I know the Gemara is the Maral B'Prag, but I don't know who the Yad David is. David's arm. Shevimeleches hotza lo hutzra gemor levar hechen oisa sharei yadua shebnei Yisrael heviu es nidvasam lebniyas ha mishkan vaday hoyu betochan aniim. Oh, this is a problem. If you're talking about aniim, the Gemara itself is gonna reject that. But anyway, so amongst those who contributed to the mishkan, there were poor people. Not everyone was wealthy. Velo heviu el kol shehu. And that's Meleches Hotza, because it says Al Yetze Ish Mimkom Biyom HaShabbos. That's how we derive Meleches Hotza, when they carried from the private Ohel, which is a Rishus HaYochid, out to the Machne Leviyah, which is a Rishus HaRavim. So they carried apparently something that was a Kolshi, and therefore the Gemara knew up front that Hotza in the Mishkan took place even with a Kolshi. So therefore, Meleches Hotza al Karcha Kolelis Gam Hotza Muetes. Mashenki Meleches Bone Tzricha Gemara Levar Hechan Hoysa Binyan Binyak Tano B'Mishkan. So, really, what are you saying, Rabbi? I just want to point out to you something. there are two different approaches. I don't know why he combines them. One approach is that in the case of Hotzah, the Malacha Atzma is not impacted by the size or the volume of the object that's being relocated, and therefore there's no need for Mishkan. In the Gerari and the Adavid, that you need Mishkan for a Hotzah Kolshi. But it was clear to the Gemara from the get-go that there was Hotzah Kolshi, either because those who because the Aniyim would only bring small items, and they were also taken or accepted for the Bnias HaMishkan.
So that's not Svara.
So that's not Svara. That was just Yediyah. In other words, well, what he's saying here is something totally different, that it was well known to the Gemara that there was Hotzah Kolshi in the Mishkan. That's not what Tosis is saying. So Rav Ossai, what I want to do is I want to learn with you a Tosis Rid and see if this Tosis Rid perhaps could shed a light on what we're learning here in our sugya. I don't know if you got a copy of the Tosis Rid. I photocopied it, and I'd love you to, you know, if you have a file, if you could keep it in your file, because we're going to need this Tosis Rid when we study the sugya of Chovel Umavir, which is at the beginning of the next parak. Because we're going to be in the midst of learning here the 12th and the 13th prakim. And the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that the reason why you're chayav for Chovel Umavir, and it's not what you'd call a pure kilkul, because Rabbi Yochanan rejects Rabbi Avo, I'm not going to go into detail, that's going to be the sugya later on. Rabbi Avo assumes that you can be chayav for a pure kilkul in Chovel Umavir. So Rabbi Yochanan rejects that. Rabbi Yochanan says, nein. You have to have some tikkun. And what's the justifying contribution of Meleches Chovel? So the case, he says, is where he collects the dam and he feeds his dog the dam. That's called Vitzorech Domo Lekalbo. Or in the case of Mavir, he collects the ashes and he needs them to cover up some sort of tzoa or something or other. So in the middle of the Tosus Rid's long presentation and analysis of this sugya of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Avo with regard to Chovel Vitzorech Dam Lekalbo, he says, V'ra'isi Makshim, and I see that there are those who ask Akasha, Mid Rabbi Abba, this is on Daf Ayin Dalid, the Omar B'Periklal Godol, HaChofer Guma, the Ein Tzorech Eloli Afra, Potter Aleph. Okay, now what's going on over here? We're talking about a case of a person who digs a hole in his house. And as we said earlier, if you dig a hole in your house, that's not Meleches Harisha. Harisha only applies when you dig a hole where?
In the field.
In the Sada. Here he dug a hole in his house. Maybe he needs the hole in his house in order to structure his house. He's putting up a, what do they call it, an engineering, a pillar to hold up the ceiling. No. What he needs is the offer. Instead of going to his local offar store that sells bags of dirt, he decides, for whatever reason, that maybe the store is closed on Sundays, I don't know, he goes and he digs a hole. So he's not interested in planting anything in the hole, and he's not interested in putting up a structural change through this hole. He's just interested in obtaining the offar. Now, L'chora Bosai, this should come under a very famous machlokas. Which machlokus is that? Correct. Malachshen tzich leguf. So we would say the following. That according to Reb Shimon, since he doesn't need the guma, he's potter. That's einot tzich leguf. But according to Reb Yehuda, who says einot tzich leguf is chayav, you should be chayav. So he says no. Afilu Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda would also agree in this case that you're potter. Why? The choshev le makalkel. Because since he's not making any structural change and there's no Meleches Binyan, therefore it becomes mekalkel. He's ruining his house. Nobody wants to have a hole in his floor. The echis chayev bechovel umavir. If you're going to tell me that if he doesn't need the gufa shel malacha, then even Rabbi Yehuda might say that you're potter if you were makalkel, if you damage something. So why would you be chayev for chovel umavir? In the case of chovel, let's take chovel as our example. So he needs the dam, right? But what about the chavol itself? The chavol itself, meaning the wound that you inflicted on the victim, is a kilkul. Valo makalkel hu kamo guma. So what are you going to tell me? Well, it's not called kilkul because he needs the dam for his purposes to feed his dog. Okay, so I need this hole because that's the only way I could obtain the offer for whatever I need the offer for. Again, if any tzorach that I have is enough to neutralize the element of kilkul, then you should be chayev in the case of chofer guma, because even though it's a kilkul, he needs the offer. And if you tell me, no, I don't care what he needs, I have to look at the malach itself, and the malach itself is a kilkul, then in the case of chovel, who cares if he needs the dam? The chavol itself was destructive. Right, there's a person who's dying now, you know, because of the wound that you inflicted in him. So basically, these makshim, these anonymous, conscientious objectors, are trying to figure out what's the difference between chovel v'tzarech li'afra. I'm sorry, chovel v'tzarech l'dam l'kalbo, where Rabbi Yochanan says that's not called kilkul. He needs the dam to feed his dog. And chofer guma, v'yeno tzarech el liafra, where the Gemara says that you're part of even according to Rabbi Yehuda, malach shein tzarech l'guf, because it's a kilkul, why not say that since he needs the offer, and he gets benefit from digging this hole, that itself makes it into a meleches tikun. Says the Tosus Rid, this is the Mishpachas Tarani, I don't know if you ever heard of the Italian family of scholars that dates back 6 centuries ago. He says about these makshim, hirbu bazeh bidvar b'telim. He gives them a very low grade here. V'lo kasha v'lo midi. And the question doesn't get off the ground. What?
You can ignore it.
Ignore them. Ignore the kasha. So I guess I have to admit that I would be classified here together with this yesh makshim as dvar b'telim, because I think it's an excellent question. But he says lokasha v'lo midi. He says the following: the hasam, the sugyan klal gadol of Rabbi Abba, chafiras guma eino malacha. In and of itself, chafiras guma is not a malacha. What malacha could it possibly be? It's a candidate for boneh or choresh, as we discussed earlier. He says, the lohavia malacha, the only way that you could, again, if you look at the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel, the list of malachas, how many times does Chafiras Guma appear in that list? Zero, right? It's not on the list. There is no such malacha as Chafiras Guma. There's Choresh, and there's Boneh. Choresh means that you want to plant, and therefore you dig a hole in your field. And boneh means that you want to set up some sort of structural change, and therefore you make a hole in the floor or the wall of your house. But you know, the definition of chafiras guma in and of itself is not a malacha. So the malacha atzma here is either boneh or choresh. So im chafar guma bibayis v'tzarech la, he needs some sort of structural improvement, he's doing renovations on his house, is chayav mishum boneh. If he digs a hole in his sadeh, and now he wants to plant in that hole, he puts a seed inside the hole, then he's chayav for what? Mishum choresh. So basically, chafiras guma is a preparatory stage for either X or Y, either for meleches binyan or meleches charisha. So insofar as it sets up the binyan, if he needs such a binyan, then it becomes Malechas Bona. But in and of itself, unless you attach it to a binyan, it's not a Malacha. And the same is true in the field. In and of itself, Chafiras Guma is not a Malacha. What makes it into a Malacha is the need to plant there. Amal in Enot Sarach Law, if he doesn't need this whole Babayis, right, because he's only trying to obtain the offer, Ein Zeh Bona. You know, if it's going to help improve the house, it's, as I said before, this hole is a preparatory stage for putting a some sort of foundation down there, and then it becomes a malacha, but in and of itself it's not a malacha. Umishum hachi potter, the loka avid malacha. Aval hacha, but here in the case of chovel umavir, these cases, hachabura vahavara hi malacha. So what do I gain from this Tosus Rid for our purposes today? I thought that maybe this Tosus Rid would already give us the background for two different dimensions and elements in Melech HaShabbos. Notice, he wants to know first of all what... Okay, I don't know where to start. Let's start with this. He, first of all, wants to know, is it a malacha? Is it not a malacha? Okay? And number two, he wants to know, well, what's your purpose? So, for example, if you have a malacha that is a malacha, then the problem is kilkul. Then you could say, well, he has a purpose. And since he has a purpose, it's not called a malacha's kilkul. But that's only by medvar amurim if you have the malacha atzma. But in the case of Chofer Guma, you don't have the Malacha Atzma. And what makes the Malacha into a Malacha is the fact that it is preparing for Choresh or for Bonet. If you don't have that element of preparation, it's not a Malacha. And if it's not a Malacha Atzma, then certainly it fits into the category of Mekalkel. So again, I might say, well, wait a second. You're telling me that this is a Meleches Kilkul because it has no constructive purpose. Well, I have a purpose in mind. Like, for example, you're telling me that Chovel is destructive, but I have a purpose through this Chavol to feed my dog the blood. So that makes it into, that converts it from a Meleches Kilkul into Meleches Tikkun. No, so you're the Yesh Makshim say, well, let's apply that same yardstick to the case where he needs the Guma. Why does he need the Guma? He needs the Afar. Says the Tosus Rid, no. In the case of Chofer Guma, we're not dealing with a question of Kilkul versus Tikkun. And therefore, since he needs and he benefits from this hole in the ground, therefore it makes it into a Meleches Tikkun. No. We're dealing with an issue that's much more fundamental. Meleches Kilkul is a way of taking a malacha and saying you're not chayef for this malacha, but the malacha exists. You know, we have a malacha called Chovel, we have a malacha called Mavir. The question is it Kilkul or is it Tikkun? Oh, here's where your personal need and benefit plays a role. That can convert it from a Meleches Kilkul to Meleches Tikkun, but again, the phrase Meleches Kilkul presupposes that what do you have? You have a malacha. So it's a Meleches Kilkul. How do I destroy the Kilkul? Well, I have a Tzorach. But in the case of Chofer Guma, I haven't yet upgraded the Chafiras Guma to the level of a Melacha. It's lacking in the basic definition of a Melacha Atzma. And therefore, it's going to be by definition a Kilkul. The fact that you need it for some other benefit, that cannot supply the basic definition upgraded to the status of Malacha. So when I have a Malacha, you want to know, well, is it Mekalkel, is it Metakein? Then your purpose will play the role, and you can, Enochinami, convert a Meleches Kilkul to Meleches Tikkun. But when I don't have the Malacha at all, I need X to create the Malacha. What's the X? The preparation for Y, right? In the case of Bias, it's a preparation for Binyan. In the case of Sod, the preparation for Charisha. Then you could talk about whether it's mekalkil or not mekalkil. So you have the malacha, now you'll tell me, well, I need the offer. And if I need the offer, that's not called a kilkul. My personal benefit offsets any, you know, it may cost me, you know, I have to pay a fixer man, you know, $20, you know, to fix this hole in my ground. But the offer, I need the offer for something that's worth to me much more than the $20. So that's called a malachas tikkun. But only if I made it into a malacha. Says the Tosus Rid, when do I make it and how do I make it into a malacha? For that, I need to see the malacha as a maleches binyan or maleches chafira. In this case, since chafira skum is not a malacha, it has no relation to binyan and no relation to harisha. Therefore, Your tzorech is not gonna play any role over here. It's lo maila v'lo morit. Now, if this be the case, then I think perhaps we can introduce Mishkan into the picture. What would define chafiras guma as a malacha? Not the fact that he needs it for the offer, you know, he has a flower pot that needs a little extra offer in it, right? No. We're going to go back to the Mishkan, and we're going to see exactly why in the Mishkan they dug a hole. And the answer is, what do they place into these holes? Either the krushim, you know, to build up the Mishkan, or the samamonim, you know, those seeds that they needed to grow the samamonim for painting the ureas, correct? So every chafiras guma in the Mishkan was a chafiras guma for the purpose of either binyan or charisha, and that defines the malacha atzma. And if this be the case, Rabosai, what we're saying about a binyan kolduhu is that since a binyan kolduhu is not a malacha atzma, the Gemara thinks that binyan kolduhu is not the binyan in the list of malachos. In order to upgrade binyan kolduhu to the status of a malacha, here I need Mishkan. So again, if you want to ask me, well, What constructive purpose does he have from a binyan kolduhu? Let's assume, Rabosai, which again we're not ready for this now, that kilkul means anything that's not a tikkun. Anything that's not a tikkun is a kilkul. So what tikkun do you get from a binyan kolduhu? Fine. So I'm going to ask Yankel Beryl, what tikkun does he get from a binyan kolduhu? And that's going to be the sugya that we learn. Says the Gemara, but that's not sufficient. Because before you get to the question of what constructive purpose makes it into a tikkun for Yankel Beryl, who's doing this malacha, ask a more fundamental question. Is a binyan kolduhu a malacha? The answer is that binyan kolduhu in the Gemara's Havamina doesn't appear in the Mishnah. What appears in the Mishnah is a binyan gadol and not a binyan kolduhu. And therefore binyan kolduhu is not a malacha. So the Gemara now needs Mishkan. If indeed there was a binyan kolduhu in the Mishkan, that would make a binyan kolduhu into a binyan. That gives it the shame malacha. Where do I find this distinction between what is he needed for and is it a malacha itself? In the Tosus Rit. The only thing I don't find in the Tosus Rit, and that's what I'm trying to add into this picture, is Mishkan. That if chafiras guma per se is not a malacha, then the only way of making it into a malacha is through Mishkan. And therefore I have to analyze in what cases and in what circumstances did they dig holes in the Mishkan that made it into a malacha. And in this case it was Malachas Choresh, in this case Malachas Bona, that gives Chafiras Guma the status of a malacha. And what I'm adding is that once we have the Mishkan, then it gives it the status of the malacha Atzma. And the same thing is true in the case of binyan kolduhu. If you find a binyan kolduhu in the Mishkan, then you know that it is a maleches binyan. Now it's a maleches binyan, you might ask a different question. Is it makalkil or metaken? Well, that we'll have to ask Yankel Beryl and see what does he gain by this binyan kolduhu. But first we have to show and indicate that the binyan kolduhu was in the Mishkan. In the case of Hotzah, And here's where Tosa says the Svara, the way he formulates it, that the Hotzah in the, again, I don't want to go with the Yadavid and the Maralmi Prague, leave that on the side. They say Pshita that they had a Hotzah in the Mishnah. No. The answer is that as far as the Melecha Atzma is concerned, there's no difference whatsoever in the Melecha Hotzah between this size, and that size. It's always the same Hotzah. But in Binyan, there are two categories of Binyan. There's a Binyan Gadol and a Binyan Katan. And now we're going to try to analyze where did the Gemara find a Binyan Katan in the Mishkan. But first I want to answer another question. Where does this concept of Mishkan come from? So first I thought that the concept of Mishkan comes from the Sugya on Daf Mem Tes. The Gemara asked, why are there 39 malachas? The Gemara says, because in building the Mishkan there were 39 malachas. And the Gemara Chagiga says that why do you need a Melechas Machsheves? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Tzivui to build the Mishkan, he asked for Melechas Machsheves. So we have a Hekesh between Mishkan and Shabbos, as far as Melechas is concerned. And therefore we derive 39 categories of Melecha. And we derive that these malachas have to be done in a way that's maleches machsheves, because that's what it was in the Mishkan. But Rabosai, even though I believe that you could argue that that's the source for Tosfos and for this whole sugi of Mishkan, I'm not 100% convinced. I'm a little bit skeptical. Why? Because the Gemara there is dealing with the number 39. The Gemara wants to know, how did the Mishnah establish that there are 39 malachas? And the Gemara says that number 39 came from the Mishkan. How do I know this? Because the Gemara then quotes a second man, the Rav Yonasan, I think, take a look on Memtes of Mepes, and he says, no, that the number 39 doesn't come from Mishkan, but rather the word malacha appears in the Torah 39 times. And the Gemara says, is that really true? I have a pasuk here, you know, it says by Yosef that he came home to do his malacha, so why don't you count that, and that would jack up the number to 40. And the Gemara goes to various psukim where it says malacha, tries to explain, no, it's only this pasuk that tells me malacha, not that pasuk. But the whole sugya revolves around the number 39, like as if to say there's some magical significance to the number 39, and is it from Mishkan or from the fact that the word malacha, that term appears in the Torah 39 times? But I think that perhaps the source for this sugya is the Gemara at the beginning of Bava Kamma. And if any of you were here with me yesterday, I think John, you were here yesterday, Yechiel, you were here yesterday, Harvey, you were here yesterday, you remember the Gemara Bava Kamma. Actually, I gave out a photocopy yesterday of the Gemara Bava Kamma. If anyone happens to have a copy, I didn't bring in the Gemara Bava Kamma, but I'll just tell you over the Gemara, as we say, Oisavedic, you know, outside. John, can I borrow you? So I'll give it right back to you. Just for a quick minute, just to make sure I don't misquote the Gemara. Gemara wants to know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who's Machayev you in an Av, but Makom Tolda, there's basically no difference between an Av and a Tolda. So the Gemara says, so why do you call one an Av and one a Tolda? The Gemara's language is as follows. The Gemara says, Ula Rabbi Eliezer, there's the last three lines on Daf Beis Amud Aleph in Bava Kamma. Ula Rabbi Eliezer de Machayev I told the Makom Av, Amai Kari Le Av, Amai Kari Le Tolda. So the Gemara says, Hachta Avi be Mishkan, Chashiva, Kari Le Av. Hachta Lo Avi be Mishkan, Chashiva, Kari Le Tolda. And Tosfos here on the bottom quotes two Girsos in the text of the Gemara. Hachi Garcina. This is the last Tosfos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Hach, Dahavi b'mishkan chashiva kari le'av. Hach, Dahavi b'mishkan chashiva kari le'toldo. Ulefi, Hach girsa bala fuki kama mulachos, shalo hayu chashuvim v'hayu b'mishkan. Imagine, Rabosai, a Kohen, as I said, you know, he's sweating, so he wipes his brow. I mean, is that a malacha? He wipes off the sweat from his brow. No, you need that it be a malacha chashuva in the Mishkan. It played a certain constructive role in the Mishkan. And that's going to give me something called an av malacha. Now, once it's an av malacha, what do I derive from an av malacha?
A
tolda. Mishkan is playing a major role here. It's setting up 39 categories or shrashim of what malacha is with regard to Shabbos is concerned. The Istigarsi, he has another girsa here. Hachdavi bab Mishkan v'chashiva karile av. In other words, there are two separate categories here. Number one, you have to find it in Mishkan, and in two, it has to be chashivus. And he writes that hachte lo avi b'mishkan v'lo chashiv karle told the lefi girsa zu tzarech lo and deboi tarte. He needs two. He needs chashiva and mishkan. If it was chashiva, but it wasn't in the mishkan, then it's not a malacha. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, if it was in the mishkan but it's not a chashiv, then it's not a malacha. You need both mishkan and chashiva. Now again, Tosus agrees, even in the second girsa, which adds the word the vav, right? It has to be mishkan v'chashiva. Tosus agrees that it's not enough that it's in the mishkan. That doesn't generate the status of an av malacha just because it was in the mishkan. You need mishkan and another condition of v'chashiva. But Tosus is pointing out that in the second girsa, the emphasis is on the fact that it was chashiva. It's got to be that it has chashivus. So I was thinking, Rav Hosai, that maybe this could be the source for our Tosfos and also the Tosfos Rid, that there's a distinction here between what do you need the malacha for, what's your personal benefit, and the malacha in the Mishkan. The malacha in the Mishkan, well, let's start the other way around. The fact that it has chashivus, that's a reflection of the fact that you need it for something great. You know, you'll achieve something fantastic and very important for you. That gives it chashivus. And it could be that even something that's kolduhu for you in your station in life, in your particular situation, that has tremendous chashivus. But Tosfos says that's not enough. You need mishkan. You see for Tosfos, in the second girsa, that mishkan supplies the shem malacha. Chashivus alone is a very important condition, and you're not chayv without chashivus. And that's a question I'm going to be asking every Uncle Beryl when he does the malacha. Does he have a very significant need for this malacha, especially in the case of a kolduhu? But that's not enough. I need mishkan to set up the malacha. And even though in the Sugyan Daf Mem Tes I wasn't sure about it, maybe you don't need mishkan to set up the malacha. Mishkan was only giving me a clue as to how many malachas are there, and there are 39 on Shabbos from mishkan, but I don't need mishkan as a precondition to define the malacha. But the answer is yes, mishkan is the precondition to define a malacha. So you need mishkan v'chashiva, and those are the two. So let's just quickly, we have about 2 minutes until we go to Mincha, just to read through the Gemara. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yirmiya, Ani.
Just to clarify, you need both to be chai or to
be chai. Define
as a malacha.
The first one is to define as a malacha, and then the second one is to make it into a malachas tikkun and not a malachas kilku, because it's tzricha and therefore it has kashivas. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, Shekein Ani, Chofer, Guma, why does he dig a small little hole in the ground? What can you fit in this hole, Rav Hosai? It's not dalet al dalet. He can only latznia ba prutosav. He can put a few pennies in, a few prutos into this hole. The kavase gabi ba mishkan. So how do I know? Okay, that's very caution. You know, you don't want to lose your prutos. But how do I know that this a mishkan element here, that defines a binyan koldu as a maleches bone? Shekein tofre yirios, chofrim guma, latznia b'machateihem. Because indeed, when they were sewing up the yirios, right, so they needed a place to hide their machat. I mean, can imagine how small this guma is to hide a needle in it. Abai says no, that would not be a good idea. You would not advocate that a tofer, how's that called in English, a tailor, right? They call it a tailor. That a tailor should hide, you know, advocate, recommend that he hide his machad inside the ground. Why? The nishtaki. It's going to cause rust. Lo avdi haki. Ella. Shekein ani Osa pitute kira ktana lishvos alek tera ktana. That the poor person ever has a very small kira. I don't know how you define a kira in English, an oven. I don't know, this is probably a better word. What? Stove, an oven. Okay, and it's very small. So what does he need? He needs pitpute kira. This is what we call, I think in English, it's probably a French word, a tripod, right? And he puts this, in Yiddish, I think it's called a dreifus, which really means 3 feet, right? So he needs the 3 legs. So what does he do? Why is this opinion called shu? I slipped my mind for a second. Oh, that's it. He attaches very small legs that are made of some sort of iron or steel to this oven, to this little stove. And the kavase gabi mishkan mevashli samamon litzvah yirios chasra malachton. Let's say they didn't have enough dye for, you know, there's a little piece of curtain that needs a little bit more dye. So osin pipute kirik tana lishposole yorek tan. So then they would use a small stove in order to create this very limited volume of dye.
Hardly kosher though. You can't argue that legs for a small stove would be kosher.
I guess the leg itself, if it's a very small tripod, fits into a hole that's kosher. So you dig a hole into the, you know, western corner of the tripod, and it's a very small hole, but it's enough to, you know, like the children play with these little toys, so they twist it in. All this leads us to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rabosai, what we want to do next time is, number one, to ask, why did Abai think that he... You know, that he made a step for, you know, a progress over Yirmiyah. Apparently, he wants to avoid the rust situation. And then the question is, why Rav Acha bar Yaakov rejects both of them because of the principle called Ein Anius b'makom Hashivus. Okay, then?
All right.
So we'll stop here.